We have started a college and career class at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and if there's any individual who is in college or in the process of getting their occupation for their life going, we would invite you to come, and it's, you know, just come out. It's a Bible study, just free, you know, spirited, but we are studying God's Word, going through the book of Colossians. So if you need more information, please see me after the service. Also, June 16th through the 20th, Vacation Bible School will be here at Trinity, and it will be, you know, just a good time, an outreach for all the kids here in the village of Gibsonburg. And from now until then, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we would invite you to come out, and if you are able to make crafts, to glue, to cut, to paste, you know, however you can assist to make the decorations so that we can make this more of a fun time, but also a time for these kids to learn about the truths about Jesus. We would invite you to be a part of making the decorations. We are going to pass around the snack sheet. If you are part of the snack ministry here at Trinity, follow the directions. If you are part and you would like to not be a part, then follow the directions as to what to do as well. And if you would like to be a part of that ministry, you know, just again, follow the directions there. The last announcement, this Saturday is Heartbeat's 2014 Walk for Life fundraiser. A little bit later on in our service, we're going to hear from Tony Brubaker a few words about what's going on at Heartbeat and how they are ministering to the young girls and the women in the Fremont area as well as in the Tiffin area. So we will hear more about later on in the service. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. O Lord, you reign. You are clothed with majesty. You are robed in glory, and you are armed with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting to everlasting. O God, your testimonies, they stand firm, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever and ever. Our soul blesses you, O Lord, our God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Praise be to you, our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, coming King, everlasting Father, we just are so thankful for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. We're so blessed by your lavish love that you pour out into our heart and soul. And Jesus, we are so thankful for the supreme sacrifice of forgiveness and of everything that you gave for our heart and soul. And so, Father, we just commit this time into your care, and we pray that you would just take it and use it to glorify yourself through it, and you would just send your Holy Spirit to just open up our minds and open our hearts and quicken our ears and move our feet to just respond to you. And so, Father, may everything that is done here be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and may we just honor you, exalt your name, and bless your holy goodness. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. For it is in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let us call on the name of Jesus. Let us come into his presence to worship him.
Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this
thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come into your presence, come boldly into your presence, and to worship you, and to honor you and glorify you. We praise you, Lord, and we glorify you, and we honor you. We love you, Lord.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death. Your perfect love is casting out fears. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth, and I will be. Troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you, Lord. Singing, oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm.
Amen. Lord, you never let go of us. Sometimes we let go of you. When things are going so great and all is so good in our lives, we have a tendency to rest on our laurels, as they say, and fall away from Jesus. But he never lets go of us. He calls us gently back. He pulls us close to him. He never lets go. He never lets go, and we praise him and honor him and glorify him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come boldly to the foot of your cross and lay down our heavy burdens.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill, your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear,
for what you did for us on the cross. You did it all for each and every one of us, every single person who stands in your house today, Lord. You did it for them. You did it for them. And it is finished. You have taken our sins and washed them, cleansed us in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Amen. We are going to ask the ushers to come forward at this point and offer the Lord just a little bit of what he's given us, because he's blessed us all so richly. Thank you. Nothing we desire compares to the love that Jesus has for us. Nothing compares to the love that he has prepared for us, for the kingdom that he's prepared for us. I beseech you all, as you go through your life, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. One day, we will see Jesus face to face in all his glory, in all his splendor. That is the prize that we should run to with all our strength. And when we grow weak and weary in our struggles, we need to call on the name of Jesus. 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 Because he is our strength. Father God in heaven, I thank you that you have called us all into your house today and that you have given us the honor and the privilege to worship you. Lord, we have brought to you just a small bit of what we have, what you've blessed us with, and we ask that you would take it into your house and bless it. Bless it to further your kingdom and bless the givers who give what they have. And Lord, even more than that, bless those who are unable to give. Father, we just lift up this service to you. We've invited you into our hearts. We've invited you into our minds. Help us, Lord, to just be still and know that you are God. Open the eyes in our hearts that we will receive the message that you have prepared so faithfully in your faithful servant. Bless the words that he will speak today. May they bless our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we have an opportunity to hear from Toni Brubaker. I'm going to ask her to come forward and just to give an update of Heartbeat of Fremont and Heartbeat of Tiffin. And I would just ask Toni just to maybe give us a brief, you know, understanding of what Heartbeat does, what you guys do, how you serve the Lord, and maybe a couple testimonies of how God is transforming and changing people's lives.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, Heartbeat is a crisis pregnancy center, and I know many of you know that because I've been up here before to talk. And we are now in Fremont and in Tiffin. We have our walk coming up next weekend, which is primarily on our two fundraisers where we take in all the money that we are able to do everything that we do. But most importantly, I really appreciate, I'm going to already start to cry. I really appreciate my church family. I appreciate all the prayers because I couldn't do what I do without you guys. I said earlier today, without even thinking about it, this is the hardest job I've ever done. It's hard sometimes to be pulled from one area of administrative to going in and sitting with somebody that's hurting. But it's also been such a joy and a blessing to be able to love on people just for who they are and where they're at. And so a couple of, I don't know, just brief little, just little things of maybe what a client coming in looks like, because I know many times we have a preconceived notion of who that girl is and what she looks like, and believe me, it's from every spectrum. From the girl that recently came in wanting to have an abortion who was 4 months pregnant, and was in a place of, she was a heroin addict, and she had been in a hotel for a period of months on heroin, and ended up being raped. And from that, then, a pregnancy came about. She already had had a child prior that she had made an adoption plan for, who was severely disabled. And so when we spoke to her about adoption, she was real hesitant about that. And so we got to just love on her and sit with her. And she left there that day, and I very much felt like she was probably not going to come back and that she was going to go through with having an abortion. But the one thing that we kept praying for was that she didn't have any money. And so we thought, this is going to be difficult for her. And so we're going to pray, Lord, that she can't get to her hands on any money. And I didn't know how that story went. And those are the tough things, is you sit and you wonder, what could I have said? What could I have done? Did I say the right things? Did I do the right things? And that's where, when I say it's the toughest job, because it is none of me and all of him, because I have to rely on him. And she came in about a month and a half later and walked through the doors, and she needed clothes. And so that was God, that was my answer right there. She did not have the abortion. And she came in, and we actually walked her across the street because Dots was closing, and we bought her some clothes and arranged to get her some food and things like that. So that's just one, that's one story. And then we just had a couple that came in that were both in college, and they came in and had met in college, were pregnant. He was on a basketball scholarship. She's from out of state, pregnant. And she wanted to have, she also was there because she thought that we did abortions. And so that's the information that they wanted. We were able to get her an ultrasound that very day with the pregnancy test, and she saw life. And so, as we listened to their story, here was a young man who actually had been taken advantage of. He was abused. He was 19, and he had an 8-year-old. You guys do the math in there. And so he was very much not knowing what to do. He's already had a child that he doesn't see. He's in this place of needing healing. And so those are the types of opportunities that we have, that the Lord brings through our doors, where we can minister them, where we can love on them. And I said earlier today, immediately when we begin to pray with them, the walls, you can just see the walls come down. They can be, some of them come from some tough situations and they're very guarded. But when we pray, and we say, Lord, let them know how very much Jesus loves them right where they're at right now, the tears come, and it just changes them. And so that's kind of what we do. There's many other programs, too. The post-abortive one has been a huge blessing to me. We just took two women through our post-abortive Bible study for 13 weeks, and one of those women was 73 years old. So that tells you that there are wounds, and she's been a Christian for many, many years. And it was beautiful to watch that healing and that redemption. And the other woman actually asked me if I would give her thank you to all of those that have prayed. And so in a few weeks, I'm going to put that in your bulletin, because she knows that she is forgiven in Christ, and in that freedom, she is walking in that freedom, and she wants all of you to know how much it means to have those prayers. So you'll be hearing hers in a few weeks. So I was here supposed to tell you about the walk, wasn't I?
Yes, go ahead.
If you want to talk to me about it, let me know. It's next weekend. We need to raise money, and you can make a donation online, or you can sponsor somebody, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Tony. Thank you. You know, God that we worship, the Lord that we love and serve, is a God of life. I can't emphasize that enough. And, you know, he's a God that gives a voice to those who don't have a voice. And if you think about that and let it sink in, you know, that's the beauty of the Savior that we have. He gives a voice to those who are in desperate need of a voice, the unborn, the elderly, the weak, the poor, the marginalized, the outcast of society. And we're going to dismiss junior worship right now for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. Joanna has a lesson prepared especially for them. And so just know that Jesus is a God that gives life. He provides life. And then a little bit later in our service, we're going to have an opportunity to stand with Heartbeat in a little different way. If you'll notice on the bottom right hand of your bulletin, you'll notice the prayer concerns. And that is the reason why we pray for Heartbeat each and every day, each and every week. It's not just to fill up bulletin space. It's not just to, you know, add something extra or additional in there. It's to say we are going to stand with what the ministry of Heartbeat is, and it's a ministry of life because God is a God of life. This morning, I want to challenge all of us, and I want to challenge our paradigm of thought. And what a paradigm is it's a way that we think about things, and we have in our world, in our society, a westernized thought process that goes like this. And it goes like, what I do, what I believe, how I in my life, it doesn't affect anybody but me. If we were to look all around the world, we would see that there is so much different than our own westernized thought process. The westernized world has isolated and individualized and brought us to a point where we have separated out. We're in the midst of a series called Cries from the Cross. And Jesus, when he was crucified, he hung on the cross and he uttered seven different statements. And this week, my hope and my prayer is that you and I will be challenged by his declaration, but then we will be more challenged by the decision of the disciple that he made the declaration to. So let's turn to our text this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you brought them, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We will be in chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. The setting is this. The city Jerusalem has swelled with tens of thousands of people gathering for the Passover feast. And so you have thousands upon thousands of people. Jesus has been crucified. He has been tried under Pontius Pilate. He has been beaten and scourged. And he is hung on a tree between two thieves or two robbers. And so you have thousands upon thousands of people passing by Jesus and jeering at him and mocking him and just hurling insult after insult up to him, saying unkind things, saying things that would have been hurtful to Jesus because he was pure and he had nothing but good in his heart. And so the setting is the Passover celebration. And like I said, it was celebrating the Passover where the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and God's wrath had passed over and provided the liberation for the Israelites to provide the freedom. And little did know these thousands of people know that Jesus was going to provide the same thing for them. And yet they jeered him, they mocked him, they hurled insults at him. Turn with me as you have to John 19, verses 23 through 27, beginning in verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Whose shall it be? That the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. So you have the thousands of people walking by, and you have a group of four women, ironically all named Mary, and you have the one disciple, the disciple John, standing by. And you can imagine how uncomfortable it would have been, how humiliating it would have been, their risen Lord, and yet he hadn't risen yet. The reality is descriptive and it's striking. A crucified Messiah, Jesus gasping for breath and dying a death not meant for a king and not meant to preserve dignity, but designed to be cruel and to humiliate and to bring shame upon those being crucified. Jesus could have said a million different things during these last hours, and yet he utters seven distinct statements. And as I mentioned, this third statement in the seven, I hope and I pray it will challenge our individualized mindset, because it's striking when we begin to unpack this. He could have become angry and hateful or bitter or even full of revenge, and yet Jesus issues the declaration that we see in our text. And this declaration, it has implications for you and for me today. First, in verse 26, we're told that Jesus turns to his mother Mary and he gives the statement. It's important that we understand why he gives this statement and how he is giving this statement and to whom he is giving this statement. It is not a command that he's issuing. It's a statement. He is issuing a new reality here, and we need to grasp that. It is not a command that John, the disciple, was to, you know, adhere to, but it's a new reality. And he looks at his mother, Mary, and he says, "Woman, behold thy son." Now, there could be a zillion different reasons why he looks at Mary and doesn't call her mom or mother. But the reality of it was is that we could see that the reason he doesn't do such a thing is it would have pierced her heart in a deeper, more hurtful and painful way. But there's something else going on here. You see, at this very moment, Mary, standing by the cross with the other three women and John, she began to relate to Jesus in a whole new way based upon her faith. Based upon Jesus being the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. And she began to relate to Christ in a sense, in a spiritual sense. The other thing that we notice in this beginning, opening declaration, when Jesus says to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." Jesus had siblings. He had brothers, and he had sisters. And it was customary and culturally accepted during his day that if the oldest one could not take care of their parents, then it would fall to the children. And so we could even begin to unpack this and say, what in the world is Jesus saying? And it's striking because he is saying, the one who is following me, the disciple John, I am going to entrust my mother to. You see, all of Jesus' siblings, they never came to faith in him until post-resurrection and after he raised from the dead. And so he wasn't going to entrust his mother with someone who did not believe in him. But it's more striking than that, friends. He is declaring a new family. He's declaring a new family relationship. And I want us to grasp this because when Jesus says, "Woman, behold thy son," he is saying, you may not be biologically related, but now you are spiritually related, and it all happens at the foot of the cross. It all happens when we come to Christ. And when we come to Christ, and when we're at the foot of the cross, then you and I, we become brothers and sisters. We become related through spiritual connection with Jesus Christ because he is the Savior of our soul. He is our Messiah. He is the coming King. He is the one who promotes and provides life to you and to me. I want us to understand that this declaration made by Jesus, it speaks to responsibility. Understanding of what being part of the family of God means. The relationship of those brothers and sisters in Christ to one another. As I mentioned, in Jesus' day, the culture was such that the parents were taken care of by their children. And as I mentioned, Jesus had other siblings. And yet, he looks to John and he says, "Woman, behold thy son." You see, in our world, in our relationship with Christ, our spiritual connections, they supersede our earthly connections. Our connection with Christ, it should take precedence over our earthly connections. And we become so concerned and so consumed with family issues and things that are going on in our own life that we miss the bigger picture of what God is providing. And as I mentioned, and I don't want us to miss this, this is why I'm repeating it. What Jesus is doing is he's actually setting up a new family. A family that you are part of, a family that I'm part of, a family that we have all been adopted into. We have become the sons and daughters of God through Christ. It's a spiritual family, a family of those in a relationship with Jesus, a family made up of all those adopted by God the Father. Let that sink in. A family of you and me being adopted and brought into a right relationship through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior into his family. In Jesus' ministry, he hinted at such a family. And I want you to listen to the words of our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. While Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven," listen to that, "for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and brothers and sisters." Notice the qualifying clause right there. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. And I could look at Heartbeat and Tony. God is a God of life. And therefore, we stand with everybody involved at Heartbeat, not only prayerfully, and as I mentioned, and a little bit later on, we're going to have an opportunity to give back in a different way. Normally, this is Communion Sunday, and we take up a benevolent offering. We have made arrangements that 100% of everything that we give today will be donated to Heartbeat to support the ministry. And so I would just challenge all of us to give from our heart. We will not take up a benevolent offering today. It will go to Heartbeat. And why do we do these things? Why do we grieve when we hear of things on the news of our brothers and sisters around the world who are incarcerated, who are persecuted for the gospel's sake? Why are we grieved when we hear of the hardship of our brothers and sisters in Christ and the things that they endure? Because, friends, they are doing the will of God the Father, and we are connected and we are united with them, and we are part of the family of God just like they are, and it should do something deep down inside of us. This speaks to unity, friends. It speaks to you and I being connected and not being individualized. It speaks to us being interconnected with one another and not being focused upon ourselves and isolated. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 11. He says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." You see, we get so consumed and focused with our own stuff, our own life over here, that we miss that we are actually connected over here. The heart of God hanging on the cross, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, looking upon incredible suffering, he looks upon his mother and he has compassion upon her. What is being poured out of his heart, what is being poured out of his very being is a heart of love and compassion and saying, "I am going to take care of you." And friends, that's the spiritual family. That's the spiritual body of Christ. When one is low, we need to lift them up, and we should feel low when they are low. When one rejoices, we should rejoice with them and exclaim praises to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When someone hurts who is a brother and sister in Christ, you and I, we should hurt, because we are connected. But every declaration, friends, has and leads to a decision. And as I mentioned, this is about family. It's about unity. It's about being part of God's family. It's not about externals or societal status or ethnicity or our past or our possessions. It's not about our accomplishments or appearance or talents or abilities or gifts. It's about Jesus and Jesus alone. It's about what he has done, about breaking down the middle wall of separation, and it's about how you and I are connected, and we have been brought into a relationship with the living Lord. We have been brought into a new family, God's family. We've been adopted by God himself, and we have a new family of origin. We have new brothers and sisters. We have new mothers, new fathers, new uncles, new aunts, and new cousins, and we are God's family now. And as I mentioned, wherever there's a declaration, a decision soon follows. Notice with me in verse 27. And I just want to challenge us. In a few moments, we're going to meet around the Lord's table. And I want to challenge us as we meet around God's table to view yourself interconnected with one another. This is not an individual thing. This is not something that you and I do individually, taking part in God's holy communion. You see, the bread is broken. All of us ingest it. And so that means that God is in all of us. in some way, some form. And yes, we are all sealed with the Holy Spirit. So yes, it is true that God is in us. And so when we partake of the bread and the cup, as we ingest this, we are merely saying, and it's not just merely, we're saying this is an act of solidarity. It's an act of being connected with one another. I can't emphasize that enough. It's like pulling up to God's table, pulling up to the Lord's table, because in fact, that is exactly what we're doing. And we're joining with one another saying, I am sitting with my brothers and sisters in Christ in the new family that I have, the family of God that God has brought me in, and I am partaking and supping with not only Jesus, but you. That's communion, friends. That's the essence of communing with one another. And the decision is here in verse 27. We're told, then Jesus said to the disciple, behold your mother. And so it's the exact flip-flop. But notice the final clause. And from that hour, that disciple, the disciple John, took Mary, Jesus' mother, to his own home. And so Jesus turns to the disciple John after declaring to Mary, his mother, that he was her son. And these words are striking as well. And he says, behold thy mother. It's the same declaration which was uttered to Mary. But as I mentioned, the next phrase of this verse tells the decision that John made about Jesus' declaration. We're told from that hour that Jesus said this to John, that he took her into his own home. And the implication here is he cared for her, he hurt for her, and he took care of her needs for the rest of her life. Friends, that's the family of God. That's the beauty of what God is beginning to usher here. And I hear stories and I hear accounts of individuals who have needs, and these needs are being met practically and financially and spiritually and emotionally. And when these needs are met, friends, it tells me there's a heart condition that is beginning to take root and beginning to take hold here in our congregation. But I want to continue to challenge us, to challenge us to stand with ministries such as Heartbeat, to challenge us to stand with those around the world and to decide, because every time Jesus declares something, you and I will have to decide. And I'll just remind us that not deciding is making a decision. If we decide to step back and say, nope, we have decided to make no decision. We can stand with our brothers and sisters all around the world, praying for the missionaries, praying for the pastors, praying for the churches, praying for unity here in Gibsonburg within the churches, praying for the ministries of those who are serving in the different capacities here within Trinity United Methodist Church, praying for the United Methodist Church as a whole, and understanding that as we meet around the Lord's table, we're not just meeting with one another. We're communing with all the saints, all the believers, all around the world. Friends, it's family. It's family. We are making that decision when we come forward to say, I am going to step forward and decide that I am moving forward and unite and solidarily connect with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because Jesus says, it's a new family. It's new. And he declares it. And so as we meet around the Lord's table, may we understand and may we grasp what is at stake here. Individuality within the westernized, Americanized thought process, or interconnectedness, which is the way that Jesus has set it up. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for this challenge, and we thank you for the declaration that you ushered when you said to your mother, woman, behold thy son. And then you said to the apostle John, you said, behold thy mother. You weren't issuing a command, but yet you were calling us all to a choice. Would we be a part of the new community, the new family that you are bringing us into? A family where there is neither slave nor free or Scythian or barbarian. There's neither Jew nor Greek or anything. But we are all one. We're all connected. Father, give us your heart. Replace our stony hearts with a heart of flesh, a heart that feels what you feel, a heart that is broken for what breaks yours, a heart that rejoices in the things that you rejoice in, hearing the testimonies of lives being transformed, hearing the good things that you are moving and doing in the hearts and souls of people. Father, change our hearts, we ask. Move in us, change us, and mold us. And as we meet around your Lord's table, Jesus, we pray that you would bless the bread and the cup, and we thank you for these elements, and we pray that they might be in some way you, O God, O Christ our King. Now, this just wouldn't be a rote mode or method or anything that we do, but it would have the symbolic understanding that we are all connected one to another, standing with one another. We thank you, Jesus. Bless the elements, we pray. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then likewise, Jesus took the cup and he said, "Take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many. Do this in remembrance of me." We have an open communion table here at Trinity. All we ask is that you have confessed and believed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. We would invite the ushers to bring everyone down and then depart on either side and return to your pew. So let's come and let's meet around our Lord's table.
As the ushers are going around to collect the benevolent offering, I'd just like to invite everyone to stand and join us in our final song. And as we sing this last song, I just want you to think about when that day comes and we see Jesus face to face.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Too late on where joy shall never end, I'll fly away.
Lord, I just pray over these people here today. I pray a special blessing over them as they leave and they go back out into the world today. Lord, I pray a prayer of protection over them. Cover them in the armor of your mercy. Cover them in the armor of your love. Cover them in their salvation, Lord. Protect them from the evils of this world. Be with them to the very end. I pray in Jesus' name, you may go in love and peace to serve the Lord.